It's good to see each and every one that's here today, our visitors that are with us. And we hope that you feel welcome and at home in this service. We have quite a few visitors. When I pastored a church in Tennessee, we would have the same thing. And we were right on a boulevard that the church was just setting right to the very east of it, and sometimes people would just drop in driving along, and it was always a blessing to have them. And it's always good to have visitors with us today, and want to encourage you to make them feel welcome. I thought as Sister Pam was singing that song, I just have to reiterate what I said last week about there's only one scripture in the Bible that I disagree with. And that was where that the Apostle Paul said, Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, speaking of himself. And I have to disagree with that, because I'm the chiefest of sinners. I feel today so unworthy that Christ would come, offer himself upon the cross. And I believe today, if any one of us that's here, if you'd been the only one that lived on this earth, that needed salvation, that needed to be redeemed, he would have come and gone through the very, very same thing that he did for the world. You see, he's personal. He came to me personally, individually, through the Holy Spirit. And in that little store warehouse, it was just he and I. But I'm so thankful that when I left that store warehouse, I didn't go in there being the same one as I left. He saved my soul that day. And we're so thankful for his mercy and for his grace today. If you have your Bible with you today, we ask that you turn with us to Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter. And we're going to start with the 51st verse. 51st verse, the 15th chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. I always encourage people to bring their Bible with them. People will sometimes say, well, what translation, what version should I use? I always use a King James Version. But you know, I don't get too worried, because God's Word is settled in heaven forever. And it shall forevermore stand in heaven. In the 51st verse, Paul is speaking in this particular chapter about the events towards the end time. Most particularly, what we're going to read has to do with the resurrection. When Christ comes, there's going to be a resurrection. The earth will give up those that are in them today. Now, how that's going to take place, I could not begin to even imagine. But I believe for the saints of God, we'll have put on immortality, and we will dwell with him forevermore. In the 51st verse, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is read, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now going down into the 58th verse, therefore, all these things that Paul has been speaking about. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And our thought is going to come from eventually that 58th verse of Scripture. Because there's so much that we could say today about the end time. And I do sincerely believe and truthfully in my heart believe that we are in those times that he speaks of here. Even whenever that I was growing up, I always had kind of a liberal, and not like you think of liberal today, but just kind of an open-minded view of things whenever I was a teenager. There's an old saying that when I was 16 years old, I thought my father was the biggest fool that ever lived. And then I turned 24 and I was amazed at how much he had learned. And I think that's the same with well, probably not with you. I know it is with me. But you know, today, I used to be so open-minded about things. And it was almost in a generation that was anything goes. Anything's acceptable. But even in this day and time, I'm surprised at what we see. I'm surprised at the things that we see going on in our world. Brother Sean was talking about the situation in Ukraine. The Bible tells us that in the end time there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And I want you to know there probably has not been a period, perhaps measurable, where there was absolute peace upon the earth. And the reason for that is because of the conflict of sin and rebellion against God. Man is at enmity with God, and because he's at enmity with God, he's at enmity with everyone else, and he's not satisfied. He's not content. We find that the Bible tells us that even there are signs within even our earth. Now, I'm not here to give a lecture on Earth Day or green this or green that. But I don't remember a time whenever that we saw so many things that we did not imagine possible. Volcanoes that are erupting in places where that we never imagined. Earthquakes in diverse places. You know, things happening in our atmosphere. Things that are happening even in the, pardon the expression, the cosmos, in the universe. Things that are happening that scientists have no basis to try to explain. And the only thing that I can figure and that I can see in it today is that this old world is rocking to and fro, both with the spiritual situation, the social situation, and with the natural world, the physical world. And I believe our physical world is waiting, Paul says, in one place for that release, the redemption, if you will, of creation, longing for that coming of Christ. And I know today that we as Christian people, we are longing for that day. I'm looking forward to it. I've prayed and prayed, oh Lord, let me be standing upon the earth whenever that you come. And whenever that you rapture us out of this place, when you take us, I get anxious about it. I get to thinking, is this the day? And this is one of the things about the times that we live in. Now, at any rate, we have heard this preached time and time again. But this is a day closer to it. We're closer to it than ever before. Did you know that? And he could come before this sermon is ended. We may not need a clock for the preacher's sermon to end. The Lord may come at any time. And the Bible tells us that, and it teaches us that over in 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter and in the 12th verse. It talks about that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that Christ will come. And he will take his redeemed, his chosen All of those today, all of you, me, if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've got a time and a place where that the Lord redeemed your soul, you're going to be leaving this world. And you know, I don't think that I'm going to miss some of the things that I've seen take place in this world and come about. But this is part of it. It will wax, the situation with our world will wax more and more evil. As evil abounds on every hand, we're going to see things, if the Jesus tarries, that we never imagined. We're going to see things take place, legislation passed, and I pray that they never, 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 ever take away our First Amendment right to be able to gather together and to worship God according to the dictates of how the Holy Spirit leads us today. But I want you to know that at any moment, Christ could come. Any moment. Well, preacher, there has to be some things that have taken place. There's things and prophecies that have taken place already. In the scriptures, there are 318 prophecies about the end times in approximately 260 chapters. One-fifth of the Bible concerns itself with prophecy. Prophecy in the old time. Someone will say, well, what about those prophets back in the Old Testament, whenever that they prophesied against Israel and against some of the nations around them? What about them? Well, they were examples unto us as to how true that God is to His Word. If He said judgment was coming, judgment was coming. But He would send a warning. He would send somebody to bring it to the attention of those to whom judgment was going to fall. And we usually think of judgment as coming upon, you know, Israel for its sins and upon Judah. But you know, there was judgment that came upon Edom. There was judgment that came upon Moab. There was judgment that came upon Assyria. There was judgment that came upon the Persians. There was judgment that came upon the Greeks. And there was judgment. It was a long time. But you know, eventually even the Roman Empire fell because of its disdain and hatred of God. And that's the reason why the empires fall. And that's the reason why they go by the wayside. But nevertheless, He could come at any time. And I believe that the times are ripe for His coming. Now the Bible tells us that it will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I wonder what that voice will be saying. Could it be that He'll say something to the effect about, you know, come on up. Come on up. Your days are over with. Your days have ended. You've worked very hard for this cause. You know, after that takes place, I want you to know today that there is going to come such evil, such tribulation, such upon this earth as has never been witnessed and seen before. We're going to find that men's hearts will fail them. Men will turn against each other. There will be one that will arise, and I don't know your feelings upon this, but the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 tells us that this spirit is already in the world. And that's the spirit of Antichrist, anti-God. And you can see it working in the lives of people. I used to know a missionary, and he was a missionary to California. Nothing wrong with California. But this was several years back, and he said, you know, he said, when I went down to UCLA and I tried to, you know, pass out Bibles, or I tried to talk to some of the students, or even towards USC or some of the other institutions there, he said, I would even mention the name of Jesus. And he said their eyes would just literally roll back up in their head, and they would spew such things out of their mouth, you know, against God and against the Savior that was sent to save them. And, you know, I'm not trying to paint a picture of the Exorcist or anything like that, but I believe that evil has gotten a hold of some people's hearts to the extent that they don't even recognize or understand or want to know about the things of God. You know, the Bible tells us over in the book of Genesis that when the angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah, that Lot, sitting at the gate with the elders, he saw them coming. He recognized them. He knew that they were from God. And Lot got down on his knees and he prostrated himself before them. And they told him not to worship him, but they went on a tour of the city to see if the wickedness and the debauchery was as bad as what was coming up before God's nostrils. But not so with the men of the city of Sodom. You see, they had gotten so encrusted and entrenched in city and sin that they no longer recognized the righteousness that was standing before them. And if you read that scripture of what they said to Lot, whenever that these angels housed with Lot, they said, "Bring these men out unto us that we may know them." And you can do the research as to what these men were wanting. They had no longer recognized. They could no longer see the righteousness, the goodness, the mercy of God. And you know, I believe there are people that are like that today that can't even recognize goodness. They'll refuse it. They become so entrenched in it. But this is what they're talking about, the spirit of Antichrist that is already in the world and working in the hearts of individuals. That's going to take place. Now, so much we may not be affected by it because we'll be gone. But you know what I think today? We still need to be working to get people saved and get them under the sound of the gospel and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ while there is still time for them, while they've not become so encrusted and so entrenched in evil today. We find, my friend, that he will arise promising peace. Do you know the one thing that people want today? I know you hear it in beauty contests and everything. I want world peace. I used to laugh about that. My family would ask me, they would say, "Well, Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" And I'd always say, "I want world peace." World peace. But there'll be one that'll come and he will bring nations together. And he'll initiate a compromise with them to where that they'll all beat their swords and their spears into plowshares. But the end result of it is that he will set himself up as God in the temple of God, wanting people to worship him as God. And I want you to know, anything that is going to be there that resembles the gospel or resembles what we represent here is going to be persecuted in such a way that, my friend, that it will try to stamp out the message of the righteousness and the salvation that is of God. You know, we think to ourselves, you know, how long, oh Lord? We're already seeing the tip of the iceberg. We're already seeing some of this coming about. You know, there's an old Al Jolson, and this doesn't date me. I don't remember. I just heard about him. But an old Al Jolson saying that, "Brother, you ain't seen nothing yet. And if Jesus tarries, we're probably going to see more until we're taken out of this place. Until that we are raptured and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now I want you to know today, it may seem like it's going to be a long time. And you know, that even those that had been martyred ahead of us, it tells us over in the book of the Revelation in the 6th chapter and the 9th verse, it tells us that John looked and he saw the souls that were under the altar that had been martyred for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they uttered, John heard them utter this, "How long, O Lord? How long until that you avenge us upon the wicked upon the earth?" And we might think today that, you know, we're going through some things, and I hope and pray you never do, nor your family. But I want you to know today, if you have friends, loved ones that are lost, be praying for them. Be at hand with them, that you want to see them saved. Now, we know that this is going to take place, and there's going to be a finality to it all. Whenever that Jesus takes his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we said in this pulpit several weeks ago, he's going to straighten out everybody's theology and politics when he comes back. But he's also going to judge this world. And the Bible tells us that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. I didn't write that. He did. He said that today. And I want you to know that it behooves us. What are we going to do? What should we do? Well, I believe today that Jesus left a commandment to us that we're to watch and we're to pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. What are we to do?
Watch and pray.
Exactly. Get that entrenched within your mind. I'm not being mean to you. You know, you might think, gosh, I had a teacher who was like him. But at any rate, we're to watch and we're to pray. What are we to watch for? We're to watch for those signs that are coming at us, you know, just daily. Just daily. You can put a newspaper down and you can put the Bible down. And my friend, there's a lot of the things that are going on that is coming to pass as the Bible told us. But we're to watch and we're to pray. What are we to pray for? We're to pray for one another. Do you know, my friend, that reflects the love that you all have for each other. I want to commend you as to how that you love each other and what you do for each other. We're to pray for one another. We're to pray even for those who are in authority. Now, I know you may not like them, but you're to pray for them. We are to pray for the lost. My friend, if Christ comes at this very moment, their doom is sealed. Their doom is sealed. Now, some will preach that there may be hope, and I don't know about that. But I do know when he steps off that mediatorial throne, he does not ascend unto it again to save sinners and to save the lost. So we pray for them now. We walk submissively with God. Micah 6 and 8 tells us in one place, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Do you know, today when we do those things, God will speak to us. He'll give us grace. He'll enable us to be able to withstand what may take place. This is what we're to do. We find that we're to love one another. And I don't have to tell you over and over again, I can see it in you, that you love each other. And the Bible tells us in 1 John, the 4th chapter, it says, "Beloved, love one another, for love is of God." This is a commandment that Jesus left with his disciples before that he went back unto the Father. And you know, my friend, we're to love our enemies. We're to love the lost. And my friend, they may not love you back. They may not even give you their ear to hear what you have to say. But I'm thankful today, my friend, we follow these things. And God directs us and God helps us and God gives us the grace to be able to do what he would command us to do. And then the last thing that Christ tells us to do is we are to preach the gospel unto every creature, whether it's in a foreign land, whether that is our next door neighbor, whether it's somebody down at the supermarket, convenience store, wherever that it might be. If you make yourself available to God and you give Him the day and you ask God, use me for your honor and glory, He will do it. He'll bring an Ethiopian eunuch into your pathway. He'll bring somebody in your pathway that doesn't know the Lord. And my friend, we're to keep on doing this. Do it. How long? How long are we to do this? We are to do it to the day that Christ Jesus comes back. Now, I'm satisfied with my salvation. I truly am. I'm truly thankful for my salvation. And you know, one of the things I've always kind of fantasized about, going off and living in a cave like a monk and just studying the ancient scriptures and so on and so forth. But you know, He left a command to all of us that we're to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. And you know, I don't know the exact time, but He ends that and He says, when you do that, you do it to all the world, everyone that you can, everyone that God brings in your presence. And then He said, then cometh the end. Then cometh the end. I look at people as they travel, or I see them on TV, or in Walmart, or wherever. And you know, sometimes I get this feeling like, Lord, somewhere along the line, will You save that individual if they're lost? And Lord, if You want me to speak to them, give me the go sign, or just open it up. And goodness, you'd think I was a member of the Gideons, but I keep passing out little New Testaments. My wife says, you know, what are you doing? I said, I'm handing out the Word of God like Johnny Appleseed. He sowed apple seeds. I'm going to sow the Word of God as He gives me an opportunity, because we don't know how long we've got left. And I don't want to see anyone die without, I know it's going to happen, but I don't want to see anyone die without God. So as we close our few remarks on this today, we're to keep on doing this. We're to keep on spreading the gospel. He said, be steadfast. Steadfast in the gospel. You know, my friends in Tennessee kid me about being from Missouri. He said, you know, in Missouri, you have to prove something to them. Well, let's use that we're going to be steadfast in the gospel. Amen? That we're going to be steadfast. That we're going to be unmovable. That we're going to be on the foundation of Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. None other name given among men whereby that we must be saved. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your work is not in vain. What you do for Him, it's not in vain. Somebody will benefit from it. Somebody will hear the gospel. And then another one over here will plant it. We'll water it. But, brethren, concluding this, don't get discouraged with what's going on in our world. Don't get discouraged. These things are, God's in control. He's got this thing. And I want you to know today, my friend, it's going the way that He wants it. Now, it may shock us, some of the things that are going on, but we have to remember He said that this would happen. We're to send the gospel out into all the world. Then cometh the end. When do we quit this? Whenever He comes for us. Amen. Until He comes. That used to be kind of the mantra for one of the churches I pastored, is till He comes. Till He comes. for such a time as this, keep on with the gospel till He comes. Till He comes. God bless you. It is my prayer. If you have lost loved ones, pray for them now. Pray for them now. Because this time that I've read about and I've tried to bring forth in the Scripture, it's coming. It's coming. But you know, if we labor, we'll reap. If we faint not. I want to say this. This is the best church I've ever been at. You are so kind. And you're so attentive. I appreciate it. I love y'all. I love y'all. And I hope that you love the Lord Jesus Christ.